While Belgium has been among the countries worst hit by the pandemic, the crisis has cut through many of the usual government contortions the country is known for. So how is the federal government handling the crisis, and are regional and local measures aiding or aggravating the situation? Belgium has become a byword for contorted political solutions, the result of its many layers of government pulling in different directions. But the country's response to the coronavirus has involved something surprising, a single national approach. According to Dave Sinardet, professor of political science at the Free University of Brussels, there were absurd, typically Belgian situations in some other federal countries, but we didn't really have them in Belgium. From the lockdown in March through to the curfew and the closure of cafes, bars and restaurants in October, measures have largely been decided for the whole country, regardless of region or language. This has even occurred with education and, for the most part, with culture, areas which are jealously guarded by Belgium's different language communities. For example, even though the ministers for French and Dutch language education disagreed going into the lockdown, they reached a compromise and the schools were closed across the country. And in October, restaurants everywhere were closed despite resistance from both the Flemish and Walloon governments. Sinardet says, that's quite surprising. In Belgium, the typical idea is that when politicians don't agree, they should just use their autonomy and do their own thing. In part, this outcome may be down to Brussels, where diverging policies would have created glaring and possibly dangerous contradictions, such as Dutch-speaking schools staying open while French-speaking schools closed. But there has also been a strong sense of pragmatism. Sinardet says, there seems to be a general feeling that corona politics is not something to play games with, although there have been some exceptions. These included the latest round of closures in the sport, culture and events sector towards the end of October. There was an initial lack of unity in the three regions, as Brussels was the first to clamp down before, successively, Flanders and Wallonia. But the federal government reasserted itself at the end of October to conclude a unified national lockdown. Belgium's response to the coronavirus has benefited from the established system of disaster planning, according to Stefan van der Waele, professor of public management at KU Leuven's Institute of Public Governance. He says, preparing hospitals for a large inflow of patients started early on and was pretty well organized, and so the hospitals were able to cope. In particular, this involved Belgium's provinces, the level of local government below the regions. Van der Waele again says, there is a lot of debate about whether we should still have provinces and provincial governors in Belgium, but one of their remaining tasks is coordination in case of disasters or epidemics, and they took up that role. It was down to the provincial governors, for example, to arrange overflow facilities in suitable vacant medical centres, care homes and hospitals, in case the hospitals reached capacity, in the event intensive care capacity across the country proved more than sufficient to meet the demands of coronavirus cases during the first wave. According to Sinardet, Belgium has also benefited from having a mechanism for temporary unemployment already in place. He says, faced with the closure of restaurants, cafes and shops during lockdown, we could use this tool to alleviate the situation both for workers and employers. These positive aspects of Belgium's response to the coronavirus do not mean that everything went well. Van der Waele says, what went badly was ownership of the crisis management. Different levels of government were constantly taking initiatives against each other, and there was very little unity in communication. For example, statements by Belgian Prime Minister Sophie Wilmers in her weekly press conferences would immediately be contradicted by the regional leaders. Van der Waele again says, that had to do with the distrust between the different levels of government and politicians trying to attract attention to their own activities rather than giving credit to other levels or other politicians. Contact tracing was one issue where everyone agreed there should be a unified approach, but no one appeared prepared to accept responsibility. According to Sinardet, discussions went on for about a month, with the federal government saying that the community should do it, and the community saying it was for the federal level. In the end, no one did it, and so contact tracing started later. Even then, implementation left a lot to be desired, with information about returning travellers and visitors to restaurants and cafes collected but scarcely used. Sinardet goes on, we still don't know where most infections happen, and there is no scientific data to back up decisions such as closing cafes and restaurants. Then there were the residential care homes, which experienced alarming infection rates and severe shortages of personal protective equipment for staff. Van der Waal says, "At the beginning of the crisis, it looked as if the politicians had forgotten that we even have care homes. They caught up eventually, but it took a while, and only happened after a lot of media attention." The response to the second wave of the pandemic has been marked by the formation of a new federal government. Although Wilmer's administration was given full powers to act for the first 6 months of the pandemic, it remained a caretaker government. Says Sinade, "Constitutionally, it was a government with full powers, but in practice, the political engagement only related to Corona, and the coalition only involved three parties. And so it didn't really have the legitimacy or the dynamism to make stronger decisions." Alexander De Croo's incoming government feels different. According to Sinade, the current Federal Minister of Social Affairs and Healthcare, Frank van den Burke, is better placed than his predecessor and has a bit more legitimacy. Sinade notes that he also polls well. After just 1 week, he was the second most popular Flemish politician, so there is strong support from public opinion. Van den Broeke's comments on Belgium's rising contamination figures in October made international headlines when he said the country was the worst affected region in Europe and warned that we are really close to a tsunami, that we no longer control what is happening. The response of the new COVID commissioner, Pedro Facon, was that the worsening situation was worrying rather than desperate. His appointment to coordinate health policy between the different levels of government was one of De Croo's first decisions. Wilmers could have done this following the model of the commissioner appointed during previous animal flu pandemics, but she chose instead to work with what she had. Van der Waal explains, "Specific members of the government were given specific tasks in the response, mainly State Secretary Philip de Backer, who became a kind of de facto commissioner. Now, having a commissioner in plain sight should make coordination more effective, although the task will not be easy. More will be asked of the regions in this phase of the crisis, for example when it comes to the economy and schools, and greater demands are likely on individual cities experiencing high infection levels." Van der Waal concludes, "So it remains to be seen if the COVID commissioner can coordinate all of their efforts, or if we will end up with a cacophony of measures across the territory."